Hello, Dirtcast listeners. It is I, Megan Reynolds, one of your co-hosts. We are taking a little bit of a break. In the meantime, please take a listen to our interview with Sally Ann Salsano, the creator of Jersey Shore, Floribama Shore, and all the other MTV reality shows that you love. Welcome back to another episode of Dirtcast. I'm your co-host, Megan Reynolds, and in my other co-host, Madeline Davies' stead, I have Jezebel pop culture reporter Hazel Sills with me.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Hazel. Hazel and I are going to talk about some dirty dirt, and later on in the episode, I will be joined by Jezebel's deputy editor, Julianne Escobedo Shepherd, to speak to Sally Ann Salsano, the executive producer of all of the reality shows you watch and love but don't talk about loving, like Jersey Shore, Jersey Shore Vacation, Martha and Snoop's, like, potluck dinner.
For me, people are always like, what makes a great reality show is a great cast. I'm like, thanks, Captain Obvious.
Yeah. Duh. That's coming up later. But for now, Hazel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am alive and well. As always.
You're breathing.
I'm breathing. Yeah. I had some water.
Your heart's beating.
My heart is beating. It's warm outside. You and I are wearing matching jackets.
Yeah.
Everything is
Our
great.
Our beautiful furry jackets. Did I have this jacket
you
before
did.
You? And
you
then you,
did.
you were so cute. You were like, where'd you get that jacket? Uh-huh. And then you came in one day
with
wearing
the
a very similar
Well, this
jacket.
Is for, that one was sold out at Uniqlo in my size. Mm. So I just found this at H&M.
It looks exactly the same.
It does. Do you find that it's getting like matted?
It's getting matted.
I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah. And also I have like long curly hair and it gets stuck. Like my jacket's just covered in hair. It's really
That's
good.
Beautiful. I hadn't noticed that. So that is more than enough about our disgusting twinning. Let's get into the dirtiest dirt this week, huh?
Dirty dirt.
Dirt, dirt, dirt. Here's the thing. The Olympics are still going on because they go on for so long all the time. There's only been a couple of weird celebrity gossip items that have happened that I feel are worthy of discussion. The first and foremost is Justin Theroux and Jennifer Aniston have broken up.
They have broken up.
After 3 years of marriage.
Yeah.
Their statement to the press was as follows. Normally, we would do this privately, but given that the gossip industry cannot resist an opportunity to speculate and invent, we wanted to convey the truth directly. Whatever else is printed about us that is not directly from us is someone else's fictional narrative. Above all, we are determined to maintain the deep respect and love that we have for one another.
Okay. Also, can I just say, like, God bless them for saying that normally they would do this privately. Like, they're public people and they live their lives in public. And I love the idea that
just the
they would even,
yeah.
they would be like, I don't know, maybe if they said, like, we would love to be able to do this privately.
Right.
Like,
okay. No, I mean,
not to nitpick their
No, please. I'm here. Please pick it apart. I'm here for that. Yeah, it's silly. I mean, there are so many. Every time a celebrity couple breaks up, they will issue some sort of statement along these lines. I remember when Elon Musk and Amber Heard broke up, it was like statement upon statement upon statement, always referencing like, that, like, whatever you hear in the press is, like, a fiction. Mm-hmm. And I think Angelina and Brad said something similar when they broke up.
Yeah, and also, like, I don't know. I just feel so bad for Jennifer Aniston in moments like this because she has just gone through, for whatever reason, people are just, like, obsessed with.
With, like, her.
Her being broken up with.
Yes. And, well, yeah. I think it's because, I don't know, I really do think she struck a chord as Rachel.
Yes.
And then,
did she? I wasn't aware.
I just threw something at Hazel from across the table. My stance on Jennifer Aniston has been like, leave Jen alone.
Yes.
Forever.
Yeah.
Like,
she
let
has her
live.
Whatever, smart water deal.
Yeah.
She's staying hydrated.
She's staying hydrated. She's keeping her skin moisturized with Aveeno.
She just, yeah.
Leave her alone. But yeah. It is fun to think about that Brad Pitt is now is single and Jennifer Aniston is single now as well.
It is fun to think about.
Fun to think
I
about.
I mean, do you actually entertain the idea that they would get together again.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen because I think, like, the Angelina and Brad breakup was, like, very traumatic. It's probably still super traumatic.
Yeah.
They're, like, they have, like, 1,000 children. They need to, like, sort out a bunch of shit. Brad is really into, like, what's vaping and making sculptures.
Wait.
That was, like, right after they broke up. He did that. I think it was, like, GQ style. He did, like, this insane GQ shoot,
yes,
like, in the desert. And then he talked about how to get through the breakup. He's, like, vaping and listening to a lot of Sufjan Stevens.
Oh, my God.
And doing, like, sculpture, like, mixed media sculpture.
He's turned into, like, a 22-year-old Parsons student.
So he's regressed to a point where I don't think that he is in a place mentally to be in a relationship.
No, I think he's gonna, like, turn up in, you know, 4 months, like, dating Bella Thorne.
Oh my God.
Someone of that age. I just don't have any hope for male actors of a certain age.
No, I don't either. I think they all end up repeating their same, like, shitty patterns, which is, like, fucking 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
So good luck to him. And you know what? I want Jen just to be happy.
Yeah.
I just want whatever that means for her.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's Brad Pitt.
No, it's definitely not Brad Pitt.
Like,
it's
all.
Probably another moisturizing sponsorship.
Another moisture sponsorship. It's probably some sort of another cream sponsorship. Yeah. And I want, that's it. And you know what? That sounds great.
Yeah.
I would love a moisturizer sponsorship, in fact. I would gladly
show. Jennifer
shill.
Aniston for Glossier.
Oh my God. Amy Schumer, something happened to Amy Schumer. Do you know what it is?
She got married.
Yay!
Yeah.
She had a surprise wedding.
Yeah, it was like last week and it was just very casual, right? She just kind of like posted Instagram.
Right, like a surprise gram situation.
Yeah.
So she's married to a chef named Chris Fisher. He works at a farm called, Hazel, if you'd like to do the honors.
Beetlebung Farm.
Beetlebung.
Beetlebung.
A single beetle. A single beetle's bung.
Beetlebung Farm.
Beetlebung Farm. It's on Martha's Vineyard. He seems like a nice guy.
I feel like her going from a carpenter.
Oh, that's right. The Aiden.
To a chef is very like Sex and the City season two.
It is.
I don't know. They just seem like fake. Who marries a chef?
I mean, I don't know. Who marries, like, an Aiden knockoff? Yeah. Like, who is, like, what was his name? Was his name Ben? He seemed kind of like a douche. Mm-hmm. And this guy, the chef de cuisine or whatever at Beetlebung Farm, seems great.
Yeah.
John Early officiated.
Which I love as Vicky.
As Vicky.
Character Vicky.
Which is really a really nice detail. And I would love it if I were to ever get married, that would be a dream, like a goal.
Yeah. I wonder what that ceremony must have been like and how much denim was mentioned in the
vows.
Yeah.
I think probably a lot. It looked nice. I mean, I'm happy for her. If she can keep making movies and like that bad one that looks like bad. What is it called?
I Feel Pretty.
I Feel
is
Pretty.
Her new upcoming movie.
Yeah. In which she's an average. She plays a woman who looks like Amy Schumer, who gets hit on the head.
Yeah.
And then wakes up and thinks she's hot.
Are you okay?
Yes. That is the plot of the film.
I will reserve judgment until I have seen it.
And now all her new material is going to be about farming and marriage, am I right?
Ooh.
What if she got married for the
material?
New material. Because her stand-up is like, oh, yeah.
I can't catch a dick because I need men.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that is...
That's my conspiracy theory.
We'll be right back. something terrible that happened on Sunday evening, which was the night of the NBA All-Stars game. Fergie of the Black Eyed Peas and a less successful solo career.
Oh, burn.
She was chosen to sing the national anthem at the game.
And she did a beautiful... No, she was horrible.
I was like, oh my God. That our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star spangled banner yet
wave? Yeah, I kept seeing people talking about this on the internet on Sunday, yeah, and I was like, I'm not gonna watch that. Yeah. And then I finally sat mm-hmm. down and watched it, and mm-hmm. it was delightful.
It was
in the worst way.
Really, let's see if we can set the scene. She was wearing like a black off the shoulder, like sort of vampy little mm-hmm. dress.
So confident,
really fucking confident, standing in the middle of a basketball court, and then she sang like jazzy.
She
would you call it? What
she
would you?
Honestly sounded like Bjork. Like her vocals were going
were
the
insane.
Weirdest places and dragging out words like they shouldn't be dragged out.
Yes, yes. There was a lot of vibrato.
Yeah, a lot of like having the mic really close to your mouth and like moving it
doing
away.
Doing my favorite.
Moving it back and moving it away. There's probably like an actual technical term for that. That
I would love to know because I always wonder about that. Like, yeah. Is that just for dramatic effect or is that actually for like yeah. the sound?
It's like when waiters pour you water in the restaurant and
the
they
high
move
pour, the up and down.
Yeah. It's the musical equivalent of that.
Like the high pour. That's great. Yeah, no one was very happy with it. She seemed actually pretty okay with what she did after like watching the video. She seemed like okay
yeah.
with like how she sang.
One thing that was great about the video is that God bless the cameramen
oh my
and the
God.
Producers of that scene because they kept dramatically kind of like fading mm-hmm. to the basketball players
so good.
Who were clearly stifling their like clearly hiding their laughter. Like biting their lips yep. and like looking at their feet.
Yep,
and
like thinking about like dead pets or like whatever it is you have
you
to do.
Need to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was she was roasted pretty hard, I would say, after that happened. So much so that she felt the need to issue an apology, which is like, okay, it says, I've always been honored and proud to perform the national anthem, and last night I wanted to try something special for the NBA. This is from People. I'm a risk taker artistically. Madam, are you? But clearly this rendition didn't strike the intended tone. I love this country and honestly tried my best.
I really like honestly tried my
me
best.
Me too. That's my favorite part about this because it's clear if you watch the video or if you just listen to it that she did indeed try her best.
Yeah, she was trying.
She was trying. Yes, my goodness, you could see it.
Maybe too much trying.
It was just like, it never occurred to me that one would even do like a jazzy rendition of the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah, because it doesn't need it.
It doesn't need
it. It's the Star Spangled Banner. Just like go up there.
Just sing it. It's really easy. I mean, it's not easy. I'm tone deaf, so I don't know. It looks hard, but easy.
Yeah, it's hard for people who can't
sure.
sing.
Can you sing?
As someone who cannot sing, I say go up there and just do your
yeah,
job.
I mean, I'll do it. Put me in the dress. Give me the manicure. Make my hair look like hers did. I'll do it at the next one.
Yeah. Fergie is an inspiration to us all. That
she is.
We can also fuck up the national anthem one day.
The conclusion to what I think has been a very stirring love story at the Olympics has finally come to a close. on Monday night, it was the ice dancing single competition, whatever it's called. It was the medal event for like the single event, blah, ice dancing. Tessa Virtue and Scott Moir. I believe it's pronounced Moir, not like Moore.
Pinot Moir. Yeah.
Exactly. They are the Canadian ice dancing couple who skated earlier in the Olympics to the Moulin Rouge soundtrack, including the sort of guttural and uncomfortable version of Roxanne that features in that soundtrack. They were the ones who were in trouble for, like, they took out a lift in their routine that was, like, basically she had her legs wrapped around his neck and his face was in her coochie region. they determined that that lift was, like, too sexy for the Olympics. It was, like, a 10-second lift or something. They were going to take it out completely, but then they changed it so that only one of her legs was around, which here's, I mean, that, like, makes it, whatever. It's like not.
It's still sexy.
It's still really sexy.
It's still too horny for the Olympics.
Too horny for the Olympics. They skated on Monday. They did the same routine because of what I'm learning after having watched like almost every figure skating event ever because I'm doing shit for work for it. They repeat a lot because why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. They also repeat costumes a lot, which I think is rude. It is the Olympics. Excuse me. I will personally GoFundMe anyone who needs. I'm sorry. It's the fucking Olympics. Like, anyway, they have not repeated a costume. They have not. The costume that she wore last night looked similar to the one that she did the Moulin Rouge routine in the first time. But it was
different ice dancing.
I know. I feel ill. I feel like I need some sort of break.
You're like, the trim on this leotard was different than the one it that she wore.
Well, I mean, I had to like compare the pictures. I was like, is this the same dress? Because they all start to look the same. Mm-hmm. They won gold. The siblings who skate together won bronze. Some French people won silver. They're very good. So the thing about this couple, Tessa Virtue and Scott Moir, is that they're not fucking, but it seems like they should be.
Yeah, the chemistry that they have together is undeniable. And also, they definitely, like, play up the sexuality of their routines. And they'll, like, they'll post Instagrams of each other, like, nuzzling each other's necks on the ice.
And
then they're
like, he has a girlfriend.
Does he?
He says he has. What I have heard is that he has a girlfriend and she is single.
Yeah. People ship them.
They do.
Pretty hard. And they also have, like, there are fans online who say that not only are they dating, but they've had a baby together.
What?
Yeah. Because there was, I guess, Tessa had surgery at some point, like, on her knee, like, and was, like, not skating. And people thought that during this time period, she had had a baby. This is not fact-checked, vetted, or endorsed by Jezebel. I'm just
the
messenger.
Where did you find that? Wow, people are crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
they should be dating.
They were on the Today Show on Tuesday after their victorious win. And Hoda and Savannah were both like, you guys should be dating. We think you should be dating. Oh, my God, oh, my God.
Your chemistry's undeniable, okay?
We're dying.
Twitter's exploding. They want you guys to be a couple. So
we kind of do, too.
We sort of do, too. Yeah, exactly. So would you guys just give us a little 411 on that situation?
And their coach said the whole world would like them to date, but they were dating at age 9 and 7. And I think Scotty broke it off. And he would say that's 19 or 20 years of regret.
That's such a weird
thing.
Like, what
the
their coach said that?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just so, because listen, if they really wanted to make it clear that they are not fucking, they would be putting that girlfriend out in the press. They would be very open about, you know, whether or not they're not dating. Mm-hmm. And it's clear that it's in their best interests to not put that on display all the time because they're getting so much attention.
I agree. Listen, I want them. I just want
everyone to be
happy. I do. I just think everyone should be happy. There are select people that I do not think should be happy, but we have not discussed any of them this episode, which is great. So I can just be a light of positive, like a beacon of positivity, which is rare for me. But I do sincerely hope that Scott breaks up with his girlfriend if they're indeed still dating. And then just dates Tessa.
Yeah.
Because they say, I feel like it would really enhance their art.
I hope that he engages to her on the ice.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. How dramatic. I would love that. So I am so excited to be joined by Sally Ann Salzano, creator and executive producer of Jersey Shore and the forthcoming Hunter Mountain on MTV. She has graciously agreed to sit down with me for a little bit to talk about reality TV and Jersey Shore and her new show. So Sally Ann, thank you and welcome to Dirtcast.
Thank you for having me. This should be fun.
And joining me also is Jezebel Deputy Editor Julianne Escobedo Shepherd.
Hello.
Sally. Hey, Julianne.
I am so psyched. I am such a huge fan of everything you create.
Yes.
Thanks. This will be fun. This will be fun. Yes. We can talk a lot of smack.
I want to first start talking about Jersey Shore because that is honestly one of my top five favorite reality shows ever, I would say, which is insane. How'd you get the idea for it? Like, what was the, just walk me through like the genesis of that program.
Well, what's interesting is it originally was an idea that came out of VH1. They had called me saying, hey, we want to do a show about a bunch of Guidos. And you're the biggest Guido we know, so you're doing this. And I was like, wait, what is this?
Oh,
and it was originally a competition elimination show.
What?
And I was like, no way.
Wow.
This is lame. It will not work. And they were like, you literally have no choice. And so many times I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
Right.
And then they're like, fine, come up with what you want it to be, and then let's talk. So we took a little bit, and to be honest, I grew up partying and going to the Jersey Shore.
Nice.
I would say my life looked a lot like what was on TV.
Oh, my God.
And so I was just like, fine, let's do like a new version of a docuseries, which is just a 24/7 follow doc of what really happens at the Jersey Shore. If you guys are down for that, I'm so your bitch. If not, let's, you know, move on. And then we got into casting, and it was like a no-brainer. And then it went from, we viewed it at a VH1 offsite, and then I got a call saying, good news, bad news. Good news is it's happening. Mm. Bad news, it's going to MTV. We're not going to be a part of it, which was not bad news for me. I love MTV, but, you know, the people that I had started with were not going to be a part of it.
Right.
And then we went on to find the house, find the location. We already had the cast. And we were kind of off to the races.
MTV is taking you inside a shore house like you've never seen, full of the hottest, tannest, craziest Guidos. They keep their hair high.
It takes me about 25 minutes to do my hair.
I started the freaking poof.
Their muscles juiced.
Pretty much I'm ripped up like Rambo.
I'm hot.
And they're fist pumping all summer long.
Fist pumping like champs?
So don't be a hater.
If hating is your occupation, I probably got a full-time job for you.
MTV's new series, Jersey Shore.
And that's it. And from that point forward, the show just took on a life of its own. But going into it, none of us realized what it was going to be.
Right. I have a question about the competition reality show that they, like, what would that have looked like?
I don't know. They were talking about, like, fist-pumping competitions, dance-offs, like, tanning. But I'm like, that's just, like, and literally, being a Guido myself, like, I for sure had a black satin jacket that said number one Guida with, like, my name on it. Like, all of it, like, it is safe for me to say whatever I want because there are pictures and evidence everywhere.
Okay.
But it just was different. And I was like, it's just not how we live, because being a Guido, as I say, it doesn't even matter nationality or anything. It really is like a state of mind, and it is a lifestyle. And it's either you were raised that way or you weren't. It's strong sense of self, strong sense of family. It's going hard all the time and everything you do. Like, it's just how you were raised.
I have a question about the casting, just in general for these shows, because particularly with Jersey Shore, and I imagine you have this magic touch with all of your productions. But, you know, with Jersey Shore, it was this perfect combination of similar but disparate personalities. And how do you know or do you know that these people are going to mesh or not mesh in the ways that make compelling television?
Yeah.
I don't know. It is kind of, you know, I would say, like, I work with a great casting company, but then they influx us with a ton of people, and then we do the job of narrowing it down and interviewing everyone and, you know, talking to them several different times, several different people. Like, we definitely have a different way of doing it than I think other companies. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that we spend a lot of time and money on. And anybody can show up to a casting call and say they're whatever, but, like, you need to weed through and make sure you have the people that really are.
Yeah. Right.
And anyone can be duped. It's, you know, it happens, but, like, in the end, it's really putting in the extra time at the front end that I think really helps you.
Right.
So what specifically are you looking for? Like, what in your mind makes, like, a good character?
In general, with reality TV, is someone who's just honest about who they are. That's really it. It's like the good and the bad. Honesty is more than anything. And for me, people are always like, what makes a great reality show is a great cast. I'm like, thanks, Captain Obvious.
Yeah.
Duh.
I also feel like it's trust. It's not only like them trusting me to tell a true story, but I have to trust that they are being completely open, honest with their feelings, and are who they say they are. And that's, like, normal. Like, we all have good days. We all have bad days. We've all gone to that bar and been like, oh, that wasn't the best night of my life, or it was at the time. And, sure. You know, this morning I'm waking up and having, like, a BLT and regrets for breakfast.
Ugh.
So, like, you just kind of need to roll with it. And I think that's more of what life is like than a bunch of people just sitting around dwelling on, like, oh, what happened last night? I think it's a little bit, well, that was fucked up. And then you, like, kind of move on.
That is, you're right. You're absolutely, that is good. That is solid advice.
You know, maybe that's the like, sort of crux of why your shows are so compelling. Mm-hmm. It's not just that we can relate in this really fundamental way. It's like, I don't know, maybe we not just see ourselves in it, but, like, aspire to that sort of no fucksness.
Well, yeah. I think that is. And I think there's a certain amount of courage. And I say this, and it's funny. After having Jersey Shore, which was my first docuseries, so I'd never done one before, never worked on one, nothing. And that was my first one. And then after that, you know, you come out and I shot Hunter. Mm-hmm. I shot Party Down South. And now you go on to Hunter Mountain. And it's funny, like, all of those kids will say, like, what's the magic? What do we need to do?
Right.
I'm like, just be yourself. Let us do what we need to do. And I always say, like, if you take five great producers, like production companies, producers, and give them the same footage, you would have five different shows.
Right.
Because it is a point of view, and, like, every production company and every show has a different personality. And I'm a firm believer in sense of humor all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say I live my life is never, like, okay, middle of the road.
Right.
Everything's either the best ever or the worst ever.
Yeah.
Which is not really a great place to live, but
sure. No.
Like, nothing's okay. And I feel like that shows in our shows. Like, I think people are either having the best time of their life or the worst time of their life.
Yes.
And I feel like either way, we're laughing. We're surrounded by people we love. Sometimes the laughter, we're crying at the same time.
Right.
And that's kind of life. But at the end of the day, like, you can have a pity party, which I do often.
Sure.
But at some point, like, that party ends and you just need to be like, all right, shake it off. Let's go fuck some new shit up, you know, and let's figure it out. Like,
no,
I kind of think that personality comes across in our shows.
It really does, because, you know, they'll go through some shit that's just like, you would think, like, if that were to happen to you, you'd be like, oh my God, I would be devastated for, like, a day. And everyone is just sort of like, okay, did that last night, and they just move on. And it's very refreshing, because they don't dwell on, like, the shame and the, like, bull, you know. They just, like, keep going.
I don't think it's that they don't dwell on it.
Okay.
I think it's that they own it. And I think that's something that's interesting. I think there's so much deflection today, and there's so much, like, well, I did this because of this, and I did this because of that. It's like, I did it just because I did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I definitely slept with my roommate last night, and You know, I mean, think about how many reality shows we all watch where people are like, it's not exactly like that. And then you go to the flashback.
Right.
It's like, well, actually, it was exactly like that.
We have the tape. It was like that.
So there's two different ways to tell that story. You could either, like, allow them to go along thinking that they fooled everyone. But then that's also not me being honest with my cast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, or it's me being like, okay, that's great. It's amazing how you have that vision of it. But me watching it saw this.
Right.
And then they're like, gotcha, right, we're shooting this. Like, yeah. You get that a lot. And I think that's where the mutual trust comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you make a bad decision, there's always a way out of it. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, sometimes MTV gets a bad rap of like, oh, they put on all these shows that are salacious to teenagers and they show people doing things. No, they show people living their life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it depends on how you watch that show. And I think today there are so many people that think that everything is the end of the world. Like the breakup, fighting with your friend is the end of the world.
Yeah.
Getting into a fight with your parent, having a kid at a young age. Like all of those things are things that people are dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch these shows, A, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And B, you see how real people handled it. And maybe you look at it and go, wow, that's a great idea. Or you look at it and go, holy God, if I ever am in that situation, I would never do that. And both things are okay. And it's like, it's kind of interesting. And I think that's the kind of thing. Like if you think about Floribama, think about Party Down South and now upcoming Winter Break, like I think about Winter Break and I'm like, oh my God, I went to Jersey Shore in the summer. And I went to Hunter Mountain and skied my ass off in the winter. And we used to joke around and we used to call it Italian ice because Hunter Mountain was like just a bunch of fucking Guidos.
It is. I grew up near
skiing.
There. Yeah.
We were like in jeans and leather jackets.
It's amazing.
Like total crazy people.
It's really
holy crap. That sounds sick.
Yeah, it's near where
that's
I
like
grew
a
up.
Great
it's,
look.
It is.
The winter is definitely, and it's funny, I read your article of like, I don't know if it's going to have the same whatever. And I was like, fuck her.
Oh my God.
And I loved it all in one. And I was kind of like, and I remember being like,
Jesus Christ.
If you thought Jersey had drama, you have not seen anything.
I watched the first two episodes and I'm fucking riveted. I love it. I'm sorry I doubted you.
But here's the thing that's so crazy. It's like cabin fever is real.
Yeah, no shit.
No.
Like at the Jersey Shore, if you get pissy, run out your door
and go to
and like go outside, go to the beach, go for a walk, cool off.
Right.
You are snowed in.
Yeah, it sucks.
That is no lie. And you hate the people that you're with.
Yep.
But also, you love the people that you're with.
It's like family.
Also, it's just different. I always felt like my winter house experiences were slightly different than my summer house.
They are.
Because you do spend more time. So I felt like, you know, we always hooked up more with the people that were under our nose because we were freezing.
Right.
We didn't want to go out.
Thing. Exactly.
Yeah. We didn't want to go out, and, like, we had just eaten a giant thing of chili. Like, that's the bottom line on the winter house scenario.
It's true. It's true. You know what? When I wrote that, I had not even, because I've been on winter vacations before of that nature, where it's, like, it's 10 degrees outside, you don't want to go skiing, so you're just, okay, like, we're up at 10, we're in the house, the fuck else are we going to do? And I get it. And after watching the show, just the first two episodes, the people that you found this time around are phenomenal. They're great.
Yeah, they're kind of fun. And also, it's like, I would go to sleep and I'd be so afraid that there was a snowstorm.
Yeah.
And I would not be able to get to, we moved the hotel, the crew hotel, less than a mile down the road. I'm like, worst comes to worst, I could walk there.
Oh my God.
Like, I was like, so mental. And there were nights we just slept on the floor in that house because we're like, if we go home and it snows,
like
we can't get back.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So like we get super nutty in a good way and we become obsessed with the cast and like they are fighting, they are fucking, they are breaking bones. I mean, I was like, what is going on?
So I haven't seen Hunter Mountain yet and I'm very, very excited to. Do you have any ideas of who might be the most controversial? Can you give us a little tidbit on that?
God, Jay Brew is so controversial. Jeff Brewer.
Yes. Yeah.
And then Alessandra, who I love.
Oh my God.
I mean,
she's
I
amazing.
Love Alessandra.
She's incredible, but like.
Yeah, she's got so much to say, and her viewpoint is the only way the world is. Like, she sees the world one way, and if you don't, like, that's on you, according to her.
That is,
like, Mark, I mean, everybody. TJ. Oh, TJ.
I love TJ.
God.
I love
TJ. Keep watching.
Yes.
It just like their characters just evolve to the end, and mm-hmm. where this thing ends, it blows up so big in the last two episodes.
I'm so
that
excited.
I'm like, oh my God, we have to get them back.
What do you think would happen if you put the cast of Jersey Shore and the cast of Winter Break together Ooh. In like a crossover scenario?
I would
like,
watch the shit out of that for yeah. starters.
I mean, are you talking about all my dreams coming true?
Yes,
right?
Yeah, actually we are. 100%.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, I am all for cross-pollination. We'll see how it all pans out.
I would love if you would also just throw the Floribama kids in there too.
Yeah, the Floribama
kids. Just for fun.
They were so nice. We had them here around the premiere. I did an interview with. They're so sweet.
But they all are. Like, that's the thing. The Jersey mm-hmm. cast is a bunch of angels, and so is the Winter Break cast. Like, I really think at the core, I pick people that are good people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that I want to hang out with, that I want to spend time with. Because right. at the end of the day, you can never pick a person and be like, oh, that's going to be your villain. Like, no one, the thing about reality TV is if people don't actually like your cast, they're not going to watch.
Right, yep. yeah, totally. Yep.
And all good people do some bad things or yep. make some dumb choices.
That's true.
That's just like life.
That's a side that I feel like people don't really think about if they're just watching. Like, you're there. Like, you do a good job of not having your presence there so much, but you're there too. So you're also sort of an integral part of the show personality-wise, right? Is that, how does that work?
Yeah, I think my staff and I, like, we're like, as it's going, it's like, oh my God, that's so funny. How do we see it? Oh my God, she's crying. Oh, she's so depressed. What are we going to do? Like,
oh my God.
You're just sitting there like it's all happening. Oh, you know, Jesus. You have 40 cameras rolling at all times. Oh. And it winds up becoming, you're writing the interview questions live on the fly. You can't right. get in front of it because you don't know what's happening.
Right.
You're just basically, you know, they're going into a confessional and giving you their inner thoughts. And sometimes from that, you're like, whoa, I didn't even know that that was what was going
mm-hmm.
on.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit of like literally observing and learning from your subjects, if you will.
Yeah.
It is a little bit of a case study. And I think like you do these shows and like they're not all the same because every person is different and how mm-hmm. they react is different.
Right. And you're not like forcing them into like another reality shows. You're not forcing them into like predetermined roles.
No, as a matter of fact, if someone comes into me or sends it, like I'm always like, who would you relate to best on a reality show? If they go, oh my God, I'm so blank. I'm like, okay, just get them out. Like, yeah. I can't.
Right, because that's like, just going to give you bad TV.
Yeah, because you want the person that's like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah,
I'm me.
I'm a human,
like,
whatever.
I'm a great friend, or I'm all over the place because I'm sensitive about this. I get serious about this. Mm. And it's like, that's real people. We all have a silly side. We all have an emotional side. People are like, I haven't cried in 5 years.
Interesting.
I'm like, people that say that, I'm like, they cry day one.
Yeah, they're crying within minutes of arriving at
yeah,
the house. Yeah,
because you're so pent up.
They're
like, if that's even real,
yeah.
Yeah, if that's even real, then like, forget it.
Yeah.
Nice.
You've never had a real friend or been in a weird, you know, been right. in a different situation. And it's
right.
like, I don't know, like I watched commercials and cried.
I definitely have cried at certain episodes of Jersey Shore. I have
yeah,
to say
and
that.
I'm a giant plane crier. I love
plane crying
on
is amazing.
Oh my God.
Passion
it's
of
amazing.
Mine. Really love yeah, crying on a plane. I'm so pumped to see what happens the rest of Hunter Mountain. And that premieres on Tuesday?
February 27th, 10:30 at night after the challenge.
Fabulous.
Then we have a new show coming out on TLC.
Okay.
That Saturday night at 10 p.m., which is like a dating show on crack. I love it. I wish I was able to do this when I was dating. It's called Hear Me, Love Me, See Me.
Oh, my God.
And think about, I always say, like, you spend so much time dating someone, and then, like, a year in, you figure out, like, oh, their parents are weird. Their friends are messed up. That's not their real job.
Right.
I don't, why haven't they let me go to their apartment? Why is this person always in an Uber? And it's like, the way it happens is, let's say I'm single, right? So I'm sitting on a couch and I have 5 men
okay.
that are completely wearing cameras.
Okay.
And from the minute they wake up that day to the minute they go to sleep, I am with them.
Oh my God.
So I intercut between three guys and I date their entire life live talking to them, live interacting with them. I see them drive their car. I see them with their dog. I see them see their mom, their job, go out with their friends. Whatever it is they do all that day, my ass is right there.
Wow.
So then you can ask any questions along the way. You just jump from guy to guy. You have three different guys.
Right.
And then at the end of it, you pick like, okay, I liked guy number two's. I want to date guy number two.
Uh-huh.
All three guys walk into the room and you see them and you've already made your selection, but you don't know which guy matches the person you picked.
Oh my God.
Fuck.
This is like, oh my God.
Okay, it is like the freaking opposite of Tinder, who you're just like figuring out who you're gonna bang that night.
That's amazing.
Oh my God.
So you actually, and it's like, if you think about a year of your life, you meet them, you meet their friends, you go to their job, you meet their parents. It takes you a fucking year to do that.
Yeah.
This is like in one day, you get this with three people and then you meet the guy. And then what does that say about you? Like,
Holy shit.
You pick the guy that maybe doesn't look so great on the outside and you're like, but you would have never dated that guy.
Is everyone in New York? Because this sounds like actually you could franchise this
in
the city for people who have jobs.
This right now is in LA, but it is a show that would definitely travel. Like do 10 in LA, go 10 here. You know what I mean? You can go everywhere.
You could,
but in order to do that,
like,
ladies,
startup.
I need some people to watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll watch the shit out of
this.
I give you my word, I will watch the shit out of
it is definitely like, it is chick viewing in a way. And it's that type of thing where like, even when I was watching like the rough cut at home and doing edit notes, my husband's like, oh God, every guy's going to be sucked into this.
Mm.
Because my husband was like, well, what does that guy look like? She's not into him. It's like, you think you know, it's really, I don't know, I loved it.
It sounds so good. Thank you again so much. This has been wonderful.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to Dirtcast, and thank you to Sally Ann Salsano, Julianne Escobedo Shepherd, and Hazel Sills. Our show is produced by Levi Sharp. Mondana Mofidi is our executive director of audio. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and this episode was mixed by Jamie Colazzo. You want to send us a tip or just let us know what you think? Hit us up at dirtcast@jezebel.com, and please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.